Welcome to Movements, a broadcast where we look at stories in the news and connect them to Canada's colonial history, its democracy serving a diverse population, and its foreign affairs with a global north and global south analysis. It's a broadcast that talks about power, biases, and how all of us in the Eastern Townships can care about what's going on near and far. I'm Gabrielle, and let's dive right into what's been happening. Today, the topic is democracy. We're looking at new movements on Bill 21 and how they are related to the U.S. midterm elections. Stay tuned to understand how and learn about what's happening in our political world. Appeals relating to Bill 21, the province's secularism law that bars some public servants, including teachers, lawyers, police officers, from wearing religious symbols, are currently underway in the Quebec Court of Appeals, the highest court in Quebec. Who's appealing? Various supporters and opponents of the bill. The hearings that began on Monday, November 7th, are specifically about a decision made by the Quebec Superior Court in 2021, rather than the law's constitutionality as a whole. That 2021 decision, delivered by Superior Court Judge Marc-André Blanchard, upheld the vast majority of Bill 21, but did strike down two provisions. The results are that 1. English language schools would be exempt due to minority language rights under Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms that give them the right to manage themselves. And 2. Bill 21 could not ban Quebec's members of the National Assembly from wearing face coverings. Blanchard recognized that the law negatively affects Muslim women, but since the Quebec government has used the notwithstanding clause that protects itself against legal challenges relating to violations of other fundamental rights in the Charter, Bill 21 continues to stand, apart from these two exceptions. That's why the appeal procedure is relatively short, expected to span under 2 weeks, as 3 judges on the appeal court will focus on whether Blanchard's ruling in 2021 was correct. They're hearing arguments divided between the notwithstanding clause, fundamental rights, and gender equality. This is Laura Berger with the Canadian Civil Liberties Association.
Our lawyers are relying on very creative and innovative legal arguments to invoke sections of the Constitution that are not affected by the notwithstanding clause.
A lawyer representing the English Montreal School Board argued that diversity is a way of life in Quebec's English schools, and Bill 21 was incompatible with their values and identity. Supporters of the bill, who wish to see its exemptions overturned, also find clever takes. A lawyer for the Quebec government counters the diversity argument, saying, Bill 21 has absolutely no effect on the cultural erosion of the linguistic minority. He argued that the law should apply equally to all students in the province. Quote, the educational experience must be equivalent to that of the majority. And that's something English-speaking townshippers can consider. Do we actually value and celebrate diversity in our educational institutions? Is that diversity part of townshipper identity? And when push comes to shove, is there a basis for the English Montreal School Board argument? The gender equality argument goes that the notwithstanding clause cannot overrule a section of the Charter that guarantees rights and freedoms equally between sexes. Opponents of Bill 21 point to evidence that the law has only affected Muslim women. Supporters of Bill 21, like a lawyer for Pour les droits des femmes du Québec, argues that the bill inherently cannot be sexist because, quote, Religions, including the Muslim religion and even the Catholic religion and the Jewish religion, are religions that are based on patriarchy and therefore are themselves sexist. End quote. The notwithstanding clause itself is argued by some to be a symbol of legislative sovereignty, and that as a constitutional right, there is no issue with the provincial government invoking it. Others warn against its abuse, like the president of the English Montreal School Board referencing the Ontario provincial government invoking that clause to ban strikes by education workers. And what does that mean for the townships? Quebec's laws make it so that even when a law is appealed, it continues to apply until it is overturned, unless there's proof that abiding by it would lead to serious harm. Thus, teachers and public servants currently affected by this law in the Estuary region will continue to be left in a sort of limbo until it likely moves its way up to the Supreme Court of Canada. Teachers and other public workers, like those in subsidized daycares or who are doctors in public institutions who wear a hijab or other religious symbols, for example, do continue to be protected by something called a grandfather clause, which allows them to maintain their current positions, but they are not allowed to advance into other positions, for example, a teacher becoming a principal, overall hindering their career advancements. Teleporting to trauma. I've been stacking my karma. Nefertiti, no drama. Make a feminist planet. Woman haters get banished. Covered up or not, don't ever take us for granted. Maybe less tangibly, it means that we continue to grapple with the context of laws that mean very different things for different people. Back in 2021, when the Superior Court struck down parts of Bill 21, the Townshippers Association wrote in a brief, quote, "We argue that Bill 21 is not so much about solving a decades-old issue as this government has asserted, but rather a policy to engineer social conformity and blatant discrimination based on observable differences," end quote. Champions of the bill, however, hold its principles of secularism in good governance near and dear. Luc Allery, representing the Mouvement Laïque du Québec in the ongoing appeal, re-emphasized their understanding of teachers having, quote, "a duty of reserve in religious matters," end quote. Finally, the most recent provincial elections possibly dampen morale in the townships about change in popular support for Bill 21. The notwithstanding clause is meant to be a temporary measure, allowing authorities to circumvent certain freedoms for a period of 5 years. The clause is able to be invoked repeatedly. The idea is that 5 years is long enough for citizens to decide whether or not they approve of the standing government that invoked that clause, and they will have a chance through elections to voice their opinion. With the CAQ taking all of the ridings in the townships, with one exception of Sherbrooke, there is evidence that support for the CAQ is higher than ever. You're just jealous of my sisters, these mixers, these hippies, these prissies, these Sufis, these dreadies, these Sunnis, these Shiais, Yemenis, Somalis, Lebanese, Pakistanis, these Sudis, Sudanis, Iraqis, Punjabis, Afghanis, Yazidis, Khadijis, Indonesians, Egyptians, Canadians, Algerians, Nigerians, Americans, Libyans, Tunisians, Palestinians, hidden beyond the Mekong in Laos, Senegalese, and Burkina Faso. And now, the question you might have asked at the beginning of this episode: how does this relate to the US midterms? Stick around until the end to find out. At the time this broadcast is being recorded, not all the seats that went up for election on November 8th in the US Congress have been determined. We won't be talking about the results today. We're looking into one reason why this midterm election has seen so much public coverage, when they tend to overall see less turnout, be the sleepy siblings of elections held with the presidential elections every 4 years. More specifically, we're looking at how elections empower political parties to instill judges on the U.S. Supreme Court, an appointment in the U.S. that is for life. Comparing this to the hearings on Bill 21 leads us to ask whether our democracies are truly representative of the people when a judicial body historically created to prevent federal governments from abusing their power begin to make decisions that can overstep popular opinion. How well do these high courts represent us, and how likely is it that the views of common Americans and Canadians are honored at the highest judiciary bodies, positions that typically require extensive education, connection, years and jobs and legal systems that most would consider not to be working class? Unlike Canada, midterms and elections in the US are a bit more suspenseful because of the ability for the president to be from one party, let's say, from the Democrat Party, while in the legislative branch, the US House of Representatives and the Senate can be controlled by another political party, let's say the Republicans. Furthermore, the House, which is the lower body, and Senate, the upper body of Congress, can be controlled by different parties as well. The result? A system of checks and balances that turn into political gridlock when the President and Congress, or the two houses in the Congress, don't agree. The very nature of Canada's parliamentary federal government avoids lots of these potential gridlocks. The Prime Minister is from the Parliament, as the leader of the party with the most seats. The Prime Minister has to maintain the support of Parliament. If there are major disagreements, then there will likely be a vote of no confidence. There must be new elections. Let's go back to the example of a US president from the Democrat Party and both houses in their Congress being Republican controlled. This was actually the last 2 years of President Barack Obama's second term. Justices in the Supreme Court are nominated by the president, but must be confirmed by the Senate. When a vacancy opened up towards the end of Obama's final term, he nominated Merrick Garland to that position. The Republican-controlled Senate refused to conduct confirmation hearings, and ultimately Garland's nomination expired. For the Democrat Party, for Obama, Senate's refusal to participate in the process certainly wasn't ideal, but fret not. The Democrats could simply wait for the 2016 elections, where Hillary Clinton would become president and Democrats would decisively take back the Congress as voters chose Democrats over the enigmatic, eccentric, controversial Republican candidate, Donald Trump. And, well, that didn't exactly happen.
I don't know what's going on here. I don't know how it's supposed to be.
In his 4 years as president, Trump ended up filling three Supreme Court vacancies, much aided by the fact that Republicans had control of the Senate. They also had control of the House. And unlike presidents who have term limits, justices remain on the court for life, on the principle that their decision-making must be impartial, even held away from the sway and approval of citizens. They make groundbreaking decisions and set precedents for what is constitutional. It wasn't under a Republican presidency that Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that guaranteed abortion rights in the U.S., was overturned. It was under Joe Biden. This was possible because of the three judges Donald Trump was able to appoint into the Supreme Court. And that's one of the reasons why Americans showed up at polls. They realized the stakes are different. in Quebec, justices on the appeals court, the one that's currently listening to the appeals on Bill 21 right now, are recommended by the Prime Minister and appointed by the Governor General, who in practice always approves the recommendations. Most often, these justices have experience in the Quebec Superior Court, which their judges are also federally appointed, chosen by the Prime Minister, and based on recommendations by provincial advisory committees. And of course, Canada's Supreme Court justices are also appointed by the Governor in Council, that is, approved by the Governor General after the Prime Minister has made a selection based on relevant provincial and federal, most often legal professionals' recommendations. We could go into more detail, but those are the basics and illustrates enough how high-level authorities in Canada's democracy, just like in the US, occupy a unique role that has been designed to keep them in power. Justices maintain their position until the age of 70. And not without reason, we talked about impartiality a bit earlier, but also definitely not without controversy. The 9 justices on the Canadian Supreme Court will likely be hearing an appeal on Bill 21 after the decision by the provincial level appeal court is issued. Issues that matter to English-speaking Quebecers and that affect English-speaking townshippers and have had the most severe effects on Muslim women, on their religious rights, cultural rights, sense of safety and well-being, on career advancement, are likely to reach the highest judiciary in the country. It's going to become of national importance. And ultimately, when such few unelected officials exert such great power, it's fair to reconsider and ask how much power we really do have in Canada's democracy today. I don't have the good snow. You've been listening to Movements, a broadcast that examines stories in the news and connects them to topics like colonialism, a democracy serving a diverse population, and foreign affairs with a focus on development. Some weeks we cover all 3 topics, other weeks just 1 or 2. Music in today's broadcast include the song Hijabi by Mona Haydar and the song What's Happening by The Birds. Mostly, as you can see.